Our houses are protected by the good Lord and a gun. You might meet them both if you show up here, not welcome, son. Our necks are burnt, our roads are dirt, and our trucks ain't clean. The dogs run loose, we smoke, we chew, and fry everything out here. Way out.
Find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down you places. You don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall.
You need the shooting bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the shooting bench.
Well, here we are, finally. Welcome to the shooting bench. Sorry about Friday. It was a bad night for us. We just barely got in, and we were absolutely whooped. We couldn't have stayed up another hour if we'd wanted to. So, sorry we missed that. Hopefully we'll make it up to you this coming Friday. This is Monday, the 13th of March. And we've got quite a few things saved up for you. Some of them kind of interesting, I think. But I want to share with you. Well, first, before I do all that, let me make sure that the sound is working and everything is good. And I've got a couple things I want to share with you before we get started on this other stuff here. So let's see a show of hands out there for all of you that can hear us. Make sure the sound's going. It looks like on my end, on the high-speed, low-drag Ninja Warrior Central here, that everything is working according to Hoyle. So, let's see. Stand by just a minute. I'm going to move that right up here, just in case. All right, let me get back over here to the chat room and see. I don't see any hands up yet. Let's see right here. Let me have to do this the old-fashioned way, I guess. Just type it in the chat room. There we go. We may have a long delay. Okay, Yakima Glock says we're 5x5. All right. If we're 5x5 for anybody, we're 5x5 for everybody. If not, then you need to refresh or buy a new computer or do something. Something I've been neglecting to tell you, and I feel bad about it because I've been wanting to do this for the last 2 or 3 weeks. We're having another deal on survival tabs. So if you're interested in this, I've got them down lowest we have ever had them. We've got them down to $25 a bottle, and that includes shipping, but you got to buy at least 5 bottles to get that. So we're getting ready to order here pretty quick. And $25 a bottle. If you go to the website to get them, I think they're $39.95 or $39.50 or something like that. They're a lot more. So, you know, on Amazon, places like that, you can find them down to $25, I think. But anyway, we're trying to do a few things to, get the funds up here a little bit for the shooting bench, for the network and everything. So survival tabs, remember now they're coming in the two original flavors, which was chocolate and malt, both of them good. The chocolate really is chocolatey. It's like eating a Hershey bar. I mean, it's way chocolate. And now they have also strawberry and what's the other one? Butterscotch. Strawberry, butterscotch, chocolate, and malt. You can mix and match. You can get any that you want. I don't care what combination you do it in, as long as there's at least 5. And I will ship them to you free. $25 a bottle. So I need to know here in the next, let me bring up my calendar, and I'm going to set a date here since I finally remembered to tell you. We've got some people around here that's chomping at the bit also to get these, get some of these at this price. So let's look at the 31st. That is, that's too long. I can't wait that long. Let's see, 2 weeks would be the 27th. Yeah, I can. I'll wait until the 31st. So on the shooting bench, I mean on Liberty Lounge on the 31st will be the last announcement. I will need to have money in hand to order because I'll be ordering the morning of the 3rd of April. That's Monday. So if anybody's interested in survival tabs, now's the way to go. Now, if you're new to the survival tab thing, let me explain them to you just a little bit. Survival tabs come in a very heavy-duty plastic bottle that is holds 180 tablets. The average person needs to eat 12 of these tablets a day, and that's all. A little bit of water, wash them down with. But no other supplement, no other food, no other anything, and you can get by fine. I want to say indefinitely. I don't know if that's stepping out on a limb a little bit, but for quite a while, you can get by on survival tabs. Now, if you're looking at the very absolute cheapest way to put some food storage back or to put stuff back for hunting or for traveling or just emergencies in general, you cannot grow your own food cheaper than survival tabs, even at full price. One bottle of these survival tabs will last the average individual 15 days with nothing else. So you're going to spend, even if you bought them at a retail price, you're going to spend $40 for 15 days worth of food. At $25, I can absolutely guarantee you, you can't find any. Well, I'm not going to say I guarantee you. There's probably something out there somewhere. I don't know what it would be. But I'm pretty cut and picking sure that you're not going to find 15 days worth of food to keep you healthy and going for $25. So you can fit a year's worth of survival tabs in a small suitcase. And they got a 10-year shelf life. Doesn't matter how cold they get. I would probably not try to store them out in 120-degree weather. I'm sure that cuts down a little bit on the shelf life over a period of time. They say at least 10 years. So if you're looking for compact, you know, you live in an apartment, you live in a trailer house, you're trying to get food storage, but you don't have any place to put it, then you can cut way back on your other types of food and store survival tabs. Our plan is, Amy and I have talked about this, and we've got survival tabs put back, and our plan is to eat one reasonable meal a day, and that is either get up in the morning and start the day with a full tummy or go to bed with a full tummy, one or the other. Or the other side of that is you could have a few bites of something periodically through the day and then a couple of survival tabs to get the nutrition that you need. So however you want to do it, you're going to stretch your food storage out by, what, 66%? Does that sound right? If you're using it for two meals a day, then that ought to be the way to go. What did Bright Angel put here? I was going to mention that. That's a... click on the deal that One Bright Angel put up there. This is something we all ought to try to do. This is a very, very well-organized movement here. On March 16th, they're trying to get everybody out there that even remotely resembles an American patriot to send a postcard to President Trump. They are, let's see here, they're trying to get the several things to go on. This is in support of President Trump. We'd also like to put something on there, I would, about releasing our political prisoners. And anyway, the address is on there for those of you not on the chat room right now. It's President Donald J. Trump, the White House, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20500. And we want to make sure that he knows that he has lots of support out here. So, anyway. All right, let me scroll this thing down here a little bit. Now, Survival Taps, the 31st is going to be the final day that you can order. I need to have money in hand before I order on the 3rd of April. So, that's all I got to say about that. Classes, we're working on a class in Tucson, we're working on a class in Kingman, and we're working on a class in New Mexico. Whenever we get dates for all those, I'll let you know. You know, I kind of got a fetish here, I guess, for abnormal. You know, when I was offshore, I was looking at the. I walked all over that rig. The first time I was on an offshore drilling rig, and I walked around and looked at the engines and the cables and the. You know, just everything out there. It was big, and you know, it was just a neat experience to go out there and do that. And I went to Cape Kennedy, you know, Cape Canaveral, and the I forgot what they call it, the vehicle that they used to move the rockets out to the launching pad and stuff, and the USS Alabama, a battleship out there, USS Drum. You know, so many different things I've seen around the country that are just awesome. And one of those things right here, I just found something that's awesome. This is the world's largest engine. Now, folks, I'm here to tell you that they are not joking. This engine, 4 stories tall, 2-stroke turbocharged low-speed diesel engine designed by an outfit in Finland, 109,000 horsepower. Yeah, 109,000 horsepower. I can't even imagine here. But not sure what the heck it is they're going to use it for exactly. But that's a lot of engine, I can tell you that. 109,000. They said that the engine in the Titanics was only 15,000. So almost, 8 times that or something like that? Yeah. That is a lot of horsepower right there. All right, let me bring up my crystal ball here. Let me get rid of that. Been there, done that. Now, for those of you that are, we keep track of these jackbooted thugs here from time to time. Well, they've sent a squad out to arrest a girl for jogging without an ID. This happened back in February. Woman was running on near the University of Texas in Austin. Was arrested for jaywalking. There's a video on here. There was just a bystander out there that witnessed all this and uploaded the video for it. And he documented this. I guess it's a he. It was it's Chris. Could be a she, I reckon. I hate these ads. Oh, man, it ticks me off. Alright, let me back up here. See if this. Well, anyway, she didn't have her ID on her. They called 4 cops in to arrest her because she didn't have her ID. Unbelievable. I don't know what happened to this deal here. Hang on a minute, let's see if I can work this out. So many cotton picking things here. Well, I guess it's not going to. Well, fine. We'll just find out. Wait a minute. Maybe I'm more of a genius than I thought I was. Okay. Sitting at Starbucks on the corner of 24th and San Antonio, this guy noticed an odd situation. And here you go. You click the link. I'm waiting for it to jump out here again. Noticed a particularly odd situation. Two Austin police officers standing outside the Castilian, just lingering. Every time I looked back, there was a different student holding a carbon copy of what looked like to be a jaywalking citation. Suddenly, one of the cops shouts at an innocent girl jogging with her headphones on through West Campus. He wobbled after her and grabbed her by the arm. Startled and not knowing it was a cop, she jerked her arm away. The cop viewed this as resisting arrest and proceeded to grab both arms tightly, placing her hands in handcuffs. She repeatedly pleaded with them, saying that she was just exercising and to let her go. She repeatedly cried out, "I did not do anything wrong. Just give me the ticket." Didn't do anything wrong. What do you need a ticket for? The other officer strolled over, and now they were making a scene. She tried to get up. I doubt she was running away as she was in handcuffs, but the second cop pushed her back down to the ground. Because of the commotion, they walked her to the cop car in the alleyway next to the Big Bite, where she, overcome with frustration, yelled loudly to gain attention. Because of that, the cops tightened their grip, causing her to squirm and kick. Then came two bike cops from down the alley. And now I have four cops and one small helpless girl in the back of a cop car because she was going for a run. Maybe the plus-size cops should follow her lead and go on a jog instead of wasting tax dollars on trivial matters. Just a thought. Well, there you go. All right. Well, let's move on here. Did you guys know that Gander Mountain, this surprised me, Gander Mountain's filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy. I'm not sure what brought all that on exactly, but they have announced that to maximize the opportunity of going to achieve a growing concern, yet in some of its subsidiaries have filed voluntary petitions for relief under Chapter 11. So that's going to be kind of interesting to follow and see what happens. We may not notice anything at all. It may be a complete non-event for us. If everything goes well for them, I'm sure it'll go completely unnoticed and they'll just continue on their way here. But they've decided that a narrowly focused and low-cost operating model is necessary to position the company for profitable growth. The company does not have the financial capacity or time to reset its operations to fully implement the new model, and as a result, does see the best available path forward is to sell the company on a growing concern basis. The court's protection will enable us to manage the sale process on an expedited basis while protecting the interest of our customers, employees, and stakeholders. Gander Mountain is in active discussions with a number of parties interested in the growing concern sale. Okay, the company expects to submit the winning bid to the court for approval in early May and anticipates the closing of the sale on May 15th. So there you go. There's a little more detail about it as far as petitions and stuff go, but nothing too interesting. Mountain Shooter, I like Gander Mountain. I don't have one around here close. I think there's at least one down in Phoenix. But I don't go to Phoenix anymore, and I absolutely have to, and I detest. I refuse to go to other towns just to shop. I think that's ridiculous. But every time I've been around to Gander Mountain, I really, really have liked their variety of stuff. Of course, it's been a long time since I've been in one. I haven't been in one for, it's got to be 10 years since I've been in the Gander Mountain, but 8 years anyway. Say it's the nation's largest outdoor retail network with stores across 26 states. So, yeah, Bright Angel, that's a picture of that engine right there. Thank you for putting that up. Isn't that a monster? Good Lord, look at the truck that's hauling it. Man. Anyway, that's enough about Gander Mountain. Let's go on here. Some of your other states there might want to get into Yakima Glock. We've been through this in Washington already. But here in Arizona, the Senate has approved a bill that bans universal background checks. So at least for the time being, until somebody brings it up again, maybe next session or whatever. But as of 10 days ago, the Arizona Senate voted to approve a bill prohibiting local governments from requiring background checks for private transfers of items, including firearms. So I think that's a good thing. There's, of course, the Democrats are saying this is a bad idea. He said, one of them said, this is overwrought. This does not allow local cities or counties to do any type of background check for any exchange of property, including cars. So, this is being decided before the state Supreme Court right now, so let's not rush it. We should not be de-icing for a city that's de-icing for a city what's best for the public safety of the citizens. Well, most of us disagree there, Mr. Farley, or whatever your name is. City of Tucson is arguing that gun regulations are a matter of local control. I think we should wait and see what the court decides before we make any more laws that could be invalidated. Turn this noise off here. There we go. But I'd like to see other states follow Arizona's lead there. You know, Arizona's led in more things than one. How about daylight savings time? We are, did anybody notice, anybody at all, notice that I got here at the correct time? Did that completely slip everybody's observation here? We had zero issues. I was just here, like, poof, there I am. Right on time. How about that? And we'll see how it works out Friday. You know, we Amy and I are going to talk about it between now and Friday and see if, you know, we may have to do something different for her sake, because 7 o'clock in the summer, you know, that's almost 3 hours before dark here. And we're busier than a cat covering up poop on a marble floor here sometimes. We may have to do something different for her convenience. So we'll see. We'll talk about it through this week. Whatever is decided, you'll know this coming Friday. And we do intend to go on with the show as normal unless something drastic comes up between now and then. Friday, the shows will go on just like they're planned. Amy will be on at 7 Pacific, and which is now the same as Arizona. And I'll be on right after with Liberty Lounge at 8 o'clock Pacific. So, and we'll announce then what we decide, if anything. Maybe we'll just keep it going like it is, but we'll let you know. Let's see. Yeah, come on, Glock, what would you, you would have noticed if it weren't for the delay. Okay. All right, let's see here. You know, there's curbside service, and then they have what they call drive-thrus. Well, the folks in Wisconsin, at least one particular truck driver, hasn't really got this drive-thru stuff all figured out just yet. He didn't stop to think that there's supposed to be, you know, like a door or an alleyway or an opening or something that you got. He thought drive-thru was just like just come on in. So there's a place in Juneau County, Wisconsin that's going to be closed indefinitely now after a tractor trailer came right on through the building this last Thursday morning. Yeah, this last Thursday. So this happened at a travel mart just off Interstate 94. Of According to the police, at 5:33 a.m., 45-year-old truck driver drove into the store, causing the entire semi-truck to end up inside the building just feet away from a cashier. You got pictures of it here, and yep, sure enough, whole truck is in the store. Drive-through. Please drive. Thank you, drive-through. That's not what they meant. Thank you, drive-through. But that's what happened. Travel Mart has a Subway, A&W, a new Lisbon family restaurant inside of it. Due to the damage to the building from this morning's accident, they've decided to be closed for business until further notice, according to the management. That came off of their Facebook page. If the guy had driven to the other side, he would have hit the diesel pumps, and who knows what would have happened. Well, probably nothing, but it's possible. So, anyway, quite a mess. They stuck that whole trailer didn't come in, but the entire tractor was in, and right up to the face of the trailer there. Interesting. Well, I think what we'll do is play a little song here about a foot long, and that would be for break purposes, and then we'll be back.
I'll be back.
Ira hates, Ira hates. Call him drunken, Ira hates. He will answer anymore. Not the whiskey drinking Indian or the Marine that went to war. Gather round me, people. There's a story I would tell about a brave young Indian you should remember well. From the land of the Pima Indian, a proud and noble band who farmed the Phoenix Valley in Arizona land. Down the ditches a thousand years, the waters grew Ira's people's crops, till the white man stole their water rights and the sparkling water stopped. Now Ira's folks were hungry, and their land grew crops of weeds. When war came, Ira volunteered and forgot the white man's greed. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he will answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. There they battled up Iwo Jima Hill, 250 men, but only 27 lived to walk back down again. And when the fight was over and Old Glory raised, among the men who held it high was the Indian Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Ira Hayes returned the hero, celebrated through the land. He was wined and speeched in honor. Everybody shook his hand. But he was just a Pima Indian. No water, no home, no chance. At home, nobody cared what Ira done. And when did the Indians dance? Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he won't answer anymore. Not the whiskey-drinking Indian nor the Marine that went to war. Then Ira started drinking hard. Jail was often his home. They let him raise a flag and lower it like you'd throw a dog a bone. He died drunk early one morning, alone in the land he fought to save. 2 inches of water in a lonely ditch was a grave for Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira Hayes, he will answer any. the whiskey drinking Indian or the Marine that went to war. Yeah, call him drunken Arahaze, but his land is just as dry and his ghost is lying thirsty in the ditch where Ara died.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
There's a star spangled down away. Somewhere in a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog by the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Do you want to lose your mind? Walk right in, sit right down. Baby, let your hair hang down.
Let me tell you, cowgirl, you ain't seen nothing till you've seen the Montana.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, we're back. Let me remind you all about the Survival Tab deal. I'm going to remind you pretty often. This is going to be a heck of a deal here. So, Survival Tabs, $25 a bottle, and you gotta get five of them, and you'll get free shipping right to your door here. I dare say, I don't know if I'd say my favorite place, but one of my absolute favorite places to eat is Waffle House. You've heard that before. I love Waffle House. I wish we had one around here. But, I pulled up to Waffle House, so this was quite some time ago. Me and another guy pulled up to one, and they had just put up the tape and locked the door. We were like 5-10 minutes late. Somebody came in and robbed them at gunpoint. And where were we? Driving down the road, coming to this Waffle House in Albuquerque. But another girl here, this was in Noonan, Georgia. Noonan is where Alan Jackson's from, for those of you that are Alan Jackson fans. If you're not, you ought to be. Anyway, she got fired from Waffle House for shooting at three suspects that robbed the restaurant in Noonan, Georgia. Actually, I think they spelled Noonan wrong, but anyway, it doesn't make any difference. Said she has no regrets and thinks things are working out for the best. She said, "I would do it all again." Asked if she had asked by reporters if she'd do anything differently, and she said, "Nope, I would do the same thing just like I did." She's working night shift, has been for 2 years. Three guys come into the restaurant early one morning and ordered breakfast. When they finished their meal, they handed her a note and saying that they would shoot everyone if she didn't hand over all the money. Well, they made off with $200, but as they left, she retrieved a handgun and fired a warning shot. No, said she was fearful and unsure if they'd come back. Well, I don't know if that was the wisest thing to do it like that, but whatever. I wouldn't recommend doing that at that point. For $200, it wasn't even a felony, I don't believe. I guess it was if they had a gun, yeah. Armed robbery. But anyway, whatever the case was, they were leaving, headed out the door. Most unlikely that they would have come back. And she's just caused herself a lot of trouble and lost her job for firing a quote-unquote warning shot as they were leaving. I'm warning y'all, don't come back. I'll shoot you next time. But they said some of her co-workers supported action. Waffle House, on the other hand, did not. She was fired right after that. She remained out of work for about a month and a half, had a GoFundMe account set up to get her family through hard times. They tripled her original goal of $2,500. Local gun range also offered Stanley a free gun class, which she could certainly use. She had helped learn her how to better handle her weapon, they said. She's also found work at a Dunkin' Donuts, be a little closer to the cops there, I guess. And her new employer isn't bothered that she shot at the Waffle House robbers. In addition, she said she's now on day shift, so she gets to spend every night with her kids. So all worked out well. And like I said, I don't think that was the wisest thing to do, but apparently it all worked out okay for her, so that's good. Let me see. Let me get in the chat room here and see what's going on. Doc, I saw your post a while ago about the Browning High Power magazines. That was a nice score there, $8 a piece. Wow. Yeah, I could live with that. All right. Here. We had a... what did we have? There we go. Had a cop in... This guy, they call him a hulking cop, they said. Hulking ex-NYPD officer. Well, apparently he got, and he is a pretty good sized boy, weightlifter. Apparently he got himself in a little trouble here. And he shot himself right in front of them FBI agents that were about to arrest him as part of a quadruple homicide and cocaine conspiracy. That term conspiracy has caused a lot of issues with our political prisoners up there. His nickname was White Rhino from his days as a strongman competitor. They had planned to arrest him on a sealed indictment tied to a murder and drug conspiracy case, and he just saved him the trouble. So this guy had rather put a bullet in his head rather than go and talk to him, and he must have been in pretty deep, I would guess. So they went to his house where he lived with his wife and four kids. They didn't find him there. They caught up with him on out of town there, 15 miles out or so. He saw the flashing lights behind him, and he called some of his friends down at the PD and said, "Why are you pulling me over?" And they said, "We're not. It's not us." So he stopped his SUV right inside of a church up the street from an elementary school and blew his brains out while the office agents were walking up to the car. So there you have it. I was going through some of these things here this weekend, and there were so many stories within 90 days of cops doing stuff like this, cops or former cops that were doing this kind of thing. And, you know, you have to wonder why they wonder that we're, that we don't trust them so much. And it's bad because there are a lot of good cops. I'm a firm believer that there's, hopefully, that there's still more good ones than there is bad ones. But there is getting to be a lot of bad ones out there. So, Mountain Shooter, congratulations. Match Saturday, 200 and 300 bench press, 197. Very nice. Third place. There must be some pretty good shooters there. Speaking of shooting, let's got one little gun-related thing that's not related to gangs and thugs here. Constitutional carry. The bill in South Carolina has advanced out of the House of Representatives. And it was approved on a 3-0 vote in the House Judiciary Committee. So that will make, I believe, let's see, the bill will also keep the current permit system intact so this can still choose to obtain. And that's good. I think that's anybody that, any state that has that has so-called constitutional carry, I think it's wise for them to keep their permit system just for reciprocity's sake and everything. So I think that's a good idea. But it says, just simply says, if you can legally own, then you can legally carry. You don't have to have a permit to do so. So the Thursday subcommittee meeting lasted all but 5 minutes. And the two Democrats in the panel were not even in attendance for the vote. Good for them. But anyway, I think that's going to make 13. I believe that's going to make 13 states now that are constitutional carry. And there was another one that hasn't quite passed that's working on it. Let's see, New Hampshire got theirs. And there was another one that's real close. This one may be 14. I'm not sure. You can probably look that up pretty easy. But anyway. Alrighty. The, what do we got? You know, we need to figure out something. You guys, you know, we've got about, you know, I know we have a lot of listeners out there on the pod. The podcast is way by far the number one way to listen to the Shooting Bench. But all of you guys have friends. You know, we've got 15 or 20 people here that are on pretty regular. And I know that you all have friends. Your friends probably have computers. Some of your friends are interested in guns and liberty and survival tabs and stuff like that. You know, get them on the show. Let's get them lined out here and get them headed the right direction. Introduce them to the Shooting Bench. Introduce them to the other shows that we have available here. Yeah, Mountain Shooter, don't lose too much faith there on the expensive rigs. I've won a lot of matches on some pretty basic stuff. So don't let them scare you. You're a shooter. You can damn sure outdo those expensive rigs are like expensive cue sticks. You know, expensive cue stick doesn't make you a pool shooter. But I know that there are some guys that have expensive sticks that are pool shooters, and some that have expensive rifles that are shooters. But you can do it, no doubt. Hang on here; we may have some breaking news. Wait 1 second here. Let me check and see what this is. Nope, that's not breaking news, but it's something I do need to check on a little later. New Mexico has been very busy. You know, New Mexico, I think, has been more active in trying to defeat these latest bills, which did include the same thing that Arizona just dumped, and that was the background checks for private transfers. I have quite a number of friends and acquaintances there that have been working diligently on getting this defeated. people were putting groups together and getting on Facebook and said, all right, let's go. Let's get up there. Let's go to Santa Fe. Let's be there when they, when they're reading this, when they vote on it. And they did it. There was House Bill 48 that, if I remember correctly, passed. And then there was Senate Bill 50, which was basically the same thing, that did not pass. So then they combined the two together, and I think they called it 548. Radio Doc can correct me if I'm wrong there. I don't have it in front of me right now. But I think they called it 548, and it lost 6-7. So, or 7-6. Not sure which one's supposed to be first, but it lost anyway. It didn't make it. So you know that they're going to be at it again. There's always been enough anti-gun Democrats and people in New Mexico to keep this stuff on the edge here, always having to watch for it. But the Radio Doc has been helping a lot. He's got some people up there in the Four Corners area that have been on top of this. There's been some people farther south. Actually, they're exactly due east of me right now. And these were the Sons of Liberty Riders, I believe it is. And they've had quite a number of people involved in this. Gun owners of New Mexico have really been on top of it. There's been quite a... And ever since I've been involved in this stuff, it seemed like I was... And Radio Doc, I think, can vouch for this. I was pretty much... especially in the Four Corners area, but I was pretty well known throughout the state for trying to spearhead some of these. I was just sick of it, and sometimes I was almost fighting alone. You know, I had a few people, and but now I think that I'm just really, really proud of the folks in New Mexico, the pro gunners, motorcycle guys, the conservatives, whatever you want to call them there. Anyway, the gun folks, the gun culture, they've done a great job. And hopefully they won't do like so many others do and drop their guard. Remember, they're not going to let this lie. You can be assured that they're going to bring it back up before long. What you need to do is Radio Doc, maybe you can get the word out here, and I'll try to help you too. What you need to do is have a law passed. Don't wait for them to pass a law to take your rights away. Get a law passed. Get Bill Scherer, you know Bill. Get Neville over in, I think he's an Aztec. And get some of those guys to get together. Get Congressman Pierce. And get these guys together and have them get a bill written up that makes it a law that you cannot do that. You cannot make a law that says that there's going to be background checks for private transfers. That's what Arizona just did. So you guys can do it too. Get together, get the right people, get Sue to help you over there in Pytown. And some of the guys from Gun Owners of New Mexico, if you're not on that Facebook page, you need to get on there. I think you are. I think I've seen you on there. And let's get on there and get some of those people together and try to get the right strings pulled over there and get something going. Hey, there's the Tinker. Glad you made it in here tonight. You know, thanks for covering for me Friday. We were just absolutely trashed. It was a long, long day. And it's a good thing we didn't have a show yesterday, because that would have been another long, long day, because there wouldn't have been a show yesterday if there was supposed to be a show yesterday. We went to church. Went to church early because Amy has a meeting of some kind she had to go to, so we were there early. Got out and had a meeting after church. As soon as that was done, we'd come home, grab a snack, change clothes, and we had to go work at another house that was being people moving into it. And we worked on that till, I don't know, it was after dark. And so we had a very long day yesterday. But it was a good day. We had fun. Had my youngest out there helping us, so, and she did a great job for what her part of the stuff was there. So the now, Detector, is there something going on with Mother Earth there that I need to know about, or that I want to know about? I may not need to. Maybe it's none of my business. But anyway, hopefully all is well. I know she was having some trouble. Rights at Risk is still having some trouble. She's hanging in there, but it's tough for her. And we've got all kinds of people having problems here. So far, Casa de Cope, we're doing okay here. We've got, we're struggling from day to day just like everyone else, but there's classes here from time to time, and we're moving right along. Don't forget, if you are able to, click the donate button up there on the top right-hand corner. You can give us a hand with keeping the network up and running, keeping the Shooting Bench going. There's a lot of things that I used to do that we haven't been doing as much lately, and part of that is due to a lack of funds, and that was some of the experimenting we did with guns and all the videos and stuff. We just don't have the time to do that anymore. Anyway, all right, well, I will be back on here Wednesday. We've got some gun-related things we want to talk about, and hope you guys have a great Tuesday, and we'll see you then. Thanks a lot.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No explanation, no reconciliation.